इसी भक्ति विनंत स्वामी प्रभु आनंद भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की जय समय भक्त की All glories is some of the glories is some of the All glories is some of the All glories is the CC Guru Gauranganita Ego Purunande Yari Yari Ego No Ego Supraya Kishupasai Vutane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vitanamana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharana Universation Samyavadi Paskatya Deja Tarana ओम गणपति मनन्दस्य जनाजनसलकाय चक्षुसुमिलितं येनेतस्मै श्रीहृदये नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं विपदमयं ददति सापदन्तिकम् वंशिकपतुभ्यश्च कृपसन्निधयेभ्यः पतितरं भवनयो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः ॐ शिवाय कृष्णस्तं Who remembers something from the last class? Now, you can't remember because you weren't here. Well, you might be able to remember, but it would take your mystical abilities to help you. Who remembers something? Yes?
I remember you saying the dusk hours in Vrindavan, 2 hours and 22 minutes long.
Something, yeah. 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 What's the speciality of the dusk time? Yeah. Thank you. Who remembers something else from the how we spoke about it?
Everyone is waiting and seeing how Krishna and Balaram on all the cows. They're coming back to their specific homes and they're pretty much waiting to get the glimpse of Krishna.
Yeah. Well, what pastime is taking place? What was describing?
Brahma Viha, which is pretty much stealing the cows and calves from Krishna's.
Brahma has stolen the cows and calves, the calves and boys from Krishna. But of course, this is by Krishna's power. And this pastime shows many things. Of course, primarily it's Leela, because Krishna's pastimes are so relishable. So there's one verse in the very beginning of the 11th canto that describes that the Krishna so kindly left his pastimes behind, knowing that after he left, because all the devotees were going to be missing him so much, but what he left behind was his pastimes. So if the devotees could...
Is it the same slog? Krishna samudham pāyate, dharmavena divise.
Not Nivritta-tasya, but it's in the beginning of the 11th canto. Do you have an 11th canto with you, Krishna Leela? But in any case, he left behind his pastimes so that we can take advantage of them, so that we can hear them and associate with him. Because unless we associate with Krishna, let's put it in the positive, when we associate with Krishna through his pastimes, we become attracted to Krishna because he's all attractive. And if we become attracted to Krishna, we are very fortunate because our situation in our existence is based on our desires. So if we become attracted to Krishna, if our desire increases to be with Krishna, then that is going to cause... And that was actually the prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami, let my attraction to you, that's all he could pray for, let my attraction to you increase birth after birth. So he wasn't praying for liberation, he wasn't even praying to give up this world and be with Krishna Loka. He was praying that his attraction to Krishna would increase. increase and increase and increase. And automatically, if our attraction to Krishna increases, then we will be free from the material world. We will have knowledge, soul. Everything will be taken care of if our attraction to Krishna, which is bhakti, if that's organized, if that happens by Krishna's mercy. So these leelas are captivating, but also very often there are philosophical truths that come out in them, things that are especially for us to learn. So in this leela, there's quite a few things to learn. But one is that Krishna's maya is impenetrable. That if Krishna, mama maya dratyaya, but there's also Krishna's yoga maya, his internal energy, that's Krishna's external energy he's describing when he says, Daviyesha guna maya mama maya dratyaya. But it's always the case that Krishna's illusory energy is impenetrable. No one can pierce through it. No one, even the topmost of intelligent persons, the topmost of devatas, the topmost demigod, Lord Brahma, as we see in this pastime, he is become so bewildered by Krishna's illusory energy that when he understands who he is in comparison to Krishna, he just becomes so humble. The most intelligent, because intelligence tends to make us proud. If we accomplish something by the power of our intelligence, we tend to get proud of our capacity. But Brahma's intelligence, when he with his intelligence by experiencing his just a glimpse of Krishna's potency, he became so humble. Which that's what comes out in the next chapter. And in the next chapter in 14, which will continue after some time in his prayers, he becomes so humble and so attracted to Krishna. He just prays that he may get the... he may become... because Uddhava also has a similar prayer. We'll get to it. But Uddhava prays that he will get the dust of the feet. He'll be able to take the dust of those residents of Vrindavan who walk outside of Vrindavan, because he really wants the dust of the feet of the residents of Vrindavan, because they're so intimate with Krishna. So how special they must be, and he's such an outsider. He feels himself, Brahma feels himself such an outsider. So I think Uddhava prays that when the residents of Vrindavan walk outside of Vrindavan, then they won't give me the dust of their feet, and they won't give me their blessings, because that's not their nature. But then I can take the dust from the gumalata, the vines outside of Vrindavan, and put it on my head. So humble. These are such powerful persons. Krishna even said that Uddhava was the best of the Yadava dynasty, the most intimate. He's the most intimate with Uddhava of all the people in the Yadava dynasty. And Uddhava becomes, there's so much reason to be proud. He thought, oh, I know what devotion is. And then when he saw the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, he understood that he was bankrupt. And that they really had the treasure. They had everything. So Brahma, being so intelligent, the practically speaking, the empowered creator, carrying Krishna's creative intelligence, he thought he was powerful, but he didn't come so far from piercing through Krishna's illusory potency. And when he glimpsed it, got a glimpse of what Krishna's potency was, he felt himself completely insignificant. So no one can pierce the Krishna's potency. And here, what we're going to hear is not even Baladev, who's Krishna's prime or only expansion. Only Baladev can't even understand. When Krishna doesn't want him to understand something, he can't understand. So that's Baladev. So Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. So on the very, very practical level, and on the tattva level, on the philosophical level, all the different expansions and incarnations of Krishna are on the same level. An example given in the Brahma Samhita is what?
Deepacharya, one lamp ignites another lamp, but the original one lamp.
Right, but when you have a candle, there's an original one, but they all, once they're ignited, once they're lit, they basically all have the same potency. So that's a general example. But Krishna still has special characteristics. Even has four characteristics as described by Sri Rupa Goswami that even Lord Narayan doesn't have, even though we would say they're equal. In a similar way, oh, that's such a nice sari that you have. Where did you get it?
It's my mom.
Oh, okay. Did she put it on you or did you put it on yourself?
My mom put it on.
Oh, very nice when you wear a sari. How nice. So, for even Brahma cannot pierce. That's what we're supposed to realize. What to speak of me, who has very, very such limited, small intelligence. I can't organize anything. What to speak of a universe? I can't even organize my life in a practical way. What to speak of the universe? And here I am. So there's only one hope, and that's a very simple hope in one sense. It's that the hope is to develop some bhakti, some devotion for Krishna. And then if we have that devotion, then just even if I make the smallest of offerings, patram, pushpam, phalam, tayam, yomam, bhakti, prachati, if it's often with bhakti, taraham, bhakti, paritam, Krishna says, I want it, I accept it. That's our hope. Krishna's inclination to his devotees. So this pastime is going to show, amongst other things, that even Balaram cannot pierce Krishna's Maya, Krishna's Yoga Maya. Really. So this is text 28. Ekada charayan vatsan saramo vanama vishat. So ekada, one day, charayan vatsam, while Krishna, while the cows were being, the vatsa, the calves were being herded. And even the word vatsa means calf. So sometimes it's seen, I don't know if it's done anywhere anymore, but mothers will call, Mother Yasoda will sometimes call Krishna, oh vatsa, oh my little calf, because the cow is embodies affection for the calf. So suddenly his mother, tell the mother, doesn't your mother call you, oh little calf?
No.
Did your mother call you little calf? No. No?
They say,
what do they say?
In India they got,
how about Bengali?
Normal name and the name like in a
pet name. But
so.
Not calf.
Sometimes they say similar.
You see, like monkey or something, or dog. Okay. So, ekada charayan vatsan saramo vanam avishat, that with Rama, the Krishna's name is going to be Aja here, the one who takes his birth. So, with Rama, with the calves, the vatsa, they enter the forest. Prancha shashu triyameshu. This happened 5 or 6 days before the end of 1 year. Prancha shashu triyamasu. Hayana puranash bhaja. 5 or 6 days short of a year, Krishna entered the forest with the cowherd boys. And well, Sarama. With Balaram. So this, in other words, this had been going on for 1 year, where Brahma had stolen the to the boys and the calves, and Krishna had let that happen. And then at the same time, Krishna had expanded himself into the boys and the calves, and giving the opportunity for the mothers, the mother cows, and the mothers to have him as their son. So he entered the forest along with Balaram. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Up to this time, for this 1 year, even Balaram was captivated by the bewilderment that covered Brahma. Even Balaram did not know that all the calves, cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna, or that he himself was also an expansion of Krishna, because he's the first expansion of Krishna. This was disclosed to Balaram just 5 or 6 days before the completion of the year. So the pastime will be completed very soon. So the calves and the cowherd boys, they're at the bottom of a very special hill in Vrindavan. Does anyone know what that very special hill is? Yeah. And you know what the calves were doing?
Grazing.
They were eating the soft green grasses there. Hare Krishna. And that means they were already somewhat grown up. That means Krishna was already somewhat grown up. Because the young calves, they just drink their mother's milk, practically speaking. So when the calves were somewhat grown up, Krishna was somewhat grown up. He was given responsibility to take care of the older calves at this time. So the calves were at the bottom of Govardhan Hill, and they were eating very, very happily. Then at the same time, thereafter were pasturing atop Govardhan Hill. So at the same time, on the top of Govardhan Hill, the cows, there were cows. And the cows were taken care of by the cowherd men. Because later on, after a few years, Krishna is going to take care of the cows himself. So then Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men, they can retire and take it easy. But up to this time, they would take out the cows themselves. So they would be very healthy doing that. They didn't have to sit in an office all day long. They would be out, and it would be fresh air, and moving around. So at this time, they were Tato Vidarat Charato Gavo Vatsan. Vatsan Upavrajam Govardhana Adri Sirasi. You know that in yoga there's one asana called the Sirasan. What, anyone know that asana?
You put your head on the floor and then you stand basically with your head at the bottom and legs are on top.
Yeah. So you stand on your head. So Sirasi means the head. So Govardhan Adri Sirasi, on top, on the head, because the head is the top part. So on the top of Govardhan Charantyo Didrisu Trinam, the cows were there on the top and the calves were at the bottom, and suddenly while they were looking down to find green grass, and I don't know if you've noticed this about, we've mentioned that the word for cows in Sanskrit is what?
Go.
Yes, and what's the word for senses?
Go.
And you know what the common element to us? Do you remember? Because were you here when I mentioned that? What is it?
They're on the go. Both of them on the go.
Yes, exactly. They're always wandering here and there looking for something new. And cows, even the Kali Yuga cows, even the cows today, if you put them in a fenced area, they'll always try to find the way out. Did you know that? Yeah. And you see that because they're always thinking the grass on the other side of the fence tastes better. And also you see that with the horses. We see that because right nearby there are some horses. And they can be in a field and that's full of green grass. And then they'll be at the very edge of the, they'll be at the fence, and because they have long necks, they'll be eating the grass on the other side of the fence. Just like the senses, because isn't it an interesting phenomenon? What do you think? I always think that the happiness that we're looking for, the satisfaction, the gratification, is just over there on the other side. It's not where we are. So, well, the cows, so they were eating the grass on top of Govardhan Hill. They were doing gocharan. Krishna was taking them, all the cowherd men were taking them for the pasturing. And then they were always looking for fresher, greener grass. So as they were looking, they looked down and they saw at the bottom of the hill, they saw the calves. And the calves weren't far away. So here's the translation. Therefore, after pasturing atop Govardhan Hill, the cows looked down to find some green grass and saw their calves pasturing near Vrindavan, not very far away. So when the calves, who were the calves?
Krishna.
They were Krishna in the form of the calf. And who were the boys?
Krishna.
They were Krishna in the form of the boys, having exactly the same characteristics. Then in text 30, so they saw them, dadrishu trinam, they saw them while looking for the grass nearby. Translation, the next verse. When the cows saw their own calves from the top of Govardhan Hill, they forgot themselves. And they forgot their caretakers, the cowherd men. They forgot everything because they saw their calves. But the calves were Krishna. So they forgot themselves and their caretakers because of increased affection. So they saw Krishna. And although the path was very rough from the top of the hill to the bottom, they ran towards their calves with great anxiety. Each running is as if with one pair of legs. That means that they're running so fast. You see horses doing this when they're running fast, but you never see cows doing it, because cows, they use their forelegs, but the front legs were joined together, not tied together, they're going like really galloping, and the back legs were going as one. So almost like the way as fast as horses run. Horses trot, and also they gallop. So the cows were joined front, and they were galloping down the hill, and it was so rough. But they were in great anxiety. What was their anxiety? To get near their calves, who were Krishna. Each running as if with one pair of legs, their milk bags full and flowing with milk. So their milk bags, out of affection, were giving off milk. Their heads and tails were raised. Their tails were raised. Their heads were raised out of enthusiasm. And their humps moving with their necks. They ran forcefully until they reached their calves to feed them. Purport. Generally, the calves and cows are pastured separately. Why? What happens if the cows and the calves are pastured in the same place?
Can you call them milk?
Yes, exactly. Because the calves, they will go to the cows, because the cows are eating all the grass, and the idea is they drink, they eat the grass, and miraculously they turn in their amazing bodies. They have a factory. It's such an amazing thing if you think about it. It's like a factory for turning grass into milk. Only the greatest scientists can make such a factory. And it's all, the factory is alive too, and it maintains itself. So if the calves are nearby, they drink all the milk. And these calves didn't need any milk too, because they were older. And the cow gives more milk than a calf can healthily drink. Did you know that? Yeah, if the calf would drink all the milk that a cow had, the calf would become very, very sick. So this is Krishna's arrangement. So the calf needs a certain amount, and the rest is for human consumption. That's Krishna's arrangement. But do you think, if you think about cow means go and also means senses, do you think the go, who are always on the go, do you think that they know when they've had enough, and if they do too much they're going to get sick? Do you think so? Never. They just eat and eat and drink and drink and drink, and they don't care. So the cows ran down. What a beautiful description of their running down the hill. Vrindavan is so, so beautiful. So purport, generally the calves and cows are pastured separately. The elderly men take care of the cows and the small children see to the calves. This time, however, the cows immediately forgot their position as soon as they saw their calves below Govardhan Hill, and they ran with great force, their tails erect and their front and hind legs joined until they reached their calves, because they were so filled with affection. Now, interestingly enough, here's the next verse. The cows had already given birth to new calves. So these weren't their youngest calves, but they were their calves. But they weren't their youngest ones. So naturally, and this is true in human society too, the affection goes to the youngest. And because the milk goes to the youngest of calves. The cows had given birth to new calves, so these weren't their youngest calves. But while coming down from Govardhan Hill, the cows, because of increased affection for the older calves, allowed the older calves to drink milk from their milk bags, and then they began licking the calves' bodies in anxiety, as if wanting to swallow them. They were just licking them and licking them and licking them. And usually that's when you see a newborn calf, just after he's born, the mother cow just licks them and licks them, because it's just natural for the cow to do that, but there's some covering, because the calf has been inside the womb of the cow. So there's some covering that has to be removed, otherwise the cow... It's so amazing, the cow knows that he has to do that, and then affection, she licks the calf. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? Have you seen that? They don't have cows in Nairobi.
They do.
But next time in Vrindavan, you have to see that. Have you seen that?
Many.
Huh?
Many times.
Ah. And they have to bring the calf over, actually, to the mother, because the calf doesn't know where to drink from. It's just newborn. So they were licking and licking the calves, and it was just so much affection. They couldn't tolerate being separate from them. They were in anxiety even, because as soon as they saw the calves. Now, it already had said, Srila Sukadeva Goswami had said that when the calves and the boys would return home, the mothers would treat the boys with so much affection, and the cows would treat the calves with so much affection. When the calves arrived, the mothers began licking the calves' bodies again and again, profusely feeding them with milk flowing from their milk bags. So what was also said before, that these weren't their younger calves. So it was the time for milking, and the older calves would come, and the mothers would neglect the younger calves and feed the older calves, because the older calves were Krishna. And everyone in Vrindavan noticed this. Even Balaram, but no one, because of Krishna's yoga bias, no one tried to think, why this is unnatural for calves, for cows. They always feed the youngest. But no one questioned this. Our acharyas have commented on this point. This is Krishna's potency. I listened to some not devotional point, but I was more psychological point from some book that I was looking at, because it's such a nice preaching point in it. There's a psychological fact that if you're looking for something very specific, and we notice this all the time, practically speaking, but then something extraordinary happens. You don't notice that. Something out of what you're looking for occurs. And they have this video. It's quite funny in one sense. They have this video, the psychological test that they have. They have like 10 people come out. And five of them are wearing, you've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Five of them are wearing white shirts and five of them are wearing black shirts. And the people who are watching the video, and what they're doing is they're throwing a basketball to each other. So what they're asked to do, the experiment, is to count how many times the people in white wearing the white shirts, not the people in black shirts, are throwing the basketball back and forth, how many times it's passed back and forth. So this goes on for like a minute, and the right answer is like 15 or 16. But in the middle of this video, a person in a gorilla suit comes out and goes right in the middle of it and then walks out for like 10 seconds, like the whole the entrance of the gorilla is like 9 or 10 seconds, and the whole video is like a minute. So everyone's looking for to see how many times the people in the white shirt pass to the other people in the white shirt. And 50% of the people don't notice that a gorilla walked out in the middle of the thing. And the reason is, when you're looking for one thing, you don't notice anything else. So how is it possible for scientists to understand actually what the truth is when their consciousness is so conditioned by what they're looking for, or even more so when you think of the quantum rule of Heisenberg, that even your looking adds a certain energy that affects the outcome. Even your looking, the fact that you're observing something, it affects the thing that you're observing. So therefore, you'd have to not be observing it to get it accurately understand what's happening. And how could you understand it if you're not observing it? So this is actually very similar to the question that the Four Kumaras asked the Hamsa Avatar. How do you separate your mind from the thing that the mind is observing, the sense objects? And the answer is, you can't. That was the Hamsa Avatar's question. Your mind can't be separate. When you're observing something, you're thinking you're seeing the object, but you're seeing your mind. Also, your mind is influencing your perception of the object. So the Hamsa Avatar said this, and also quantum physics says this, and also the psychologists will also say that what you perceive, we don't see with our eyes, we see with our mind so much, the conceptions in our mind. So this is, in our case, this is that we don't see reality is by the external energy. We don't see reality as it is because only Krishna sees reality as it is. But in case in Krishna Leela, there was this pastime going on when the older calves were given the milk that was meant for the younger calves, and no one saw it. In the same way as no one saw the gorilla. Did you see the gorilla?
That's what I did.
He spotted the gorilla. I mean, once you see it, it's...
Yeah, then it's funny.
Huh?
It's quite funny.
Yeah. 50% of the people don't see the gorilla. And they have another experiment too. That's also really funny. That there's someone like on a college campus, and a person goes and asks another person, could you give me some directions? Could you tell me how to go there? And then they have a person goes in between them. Two people are carrying a door. Did you see this one too? They're carrying a door as if like their worker's going somewhere. And they're carrying the door, which is quite long. One person's on one end, one person's on the other end. And they walk in between the two people. And this is part of the experiment. The one person is talking and asking directions from the other person. So while they do that, they change the person who's talking to him. The second person who is holding the door changes with the person who is talking to him. So then they continues the conversation, asking him the directions, and most of the people don't notice that the person who they're talking to is a different person who they were talking to before. What do you think about that? So the cowherd men, what was the point of this? That the cowherd men, not due to Mahamaya, which we can't pierce to see Krishna, but due to Yogamaya, the cowherd men and even Balaram and none of the residents of Vrindavan could pierce through what was happening, even though they saw it. They didn't see it. So in this way, although the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, the cowherd men and cowherd women, we've moved on, that was just explaining how the cows went back. So the cows, they got down the hill first. Now why did the cows get there? Who was taking care of the cows on top of the hill? Huh? The cowherd men. So why did the cows get down first? Well, because they were the ones who were running down to get to their calves, so the cowherd men were following them. And the cowherd men, being unable to check the cows from going to their calves, you know, they felt simultaneously ashamed, you know, we're cowherd men and we can't control the cows, and angry because the cows had escaped, and because not only the cows had escaped, the calves were going to drink all the milk. They crossed the rough road with great difficulty. Now, cows had an easier time. And they were angry and they felt ashamed. But when they came down, they saw their sons, who were Krishna. And they were overwhelmed by great affection. And they forgot their shame and they forgot their anger. And they became absorbed completely in loving exchanges with their sons. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Everyone was increasing in affection for Krishna. When the cowherd men coming down from the hill saw their own sons, who were no one else than Krishna, their affection increased. Increased, in other words, more than the affection that they had from their own sons. And also the question is asked, I asked this last time, see if you remember the answer. When the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys were Krishna, and who had assumed their forms. So when the cows and the parents of the boys saw their children, their affection increased so much because to the level of their affection for Krishna. So does that mean they love their own sons as much as they love Krishna now? Does anyone remember the answer to that? Yes. Who said yes?
Okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Donna. What was the answer?
Well, I said they would love them more because they're Krishna now. Oh gosh, might be something tricky there.
Yeah, but do you remember what I said?
No, not now.
Yeah.
If their love for Krishna is ever increasing, then their love for their Krishna as their sons would increase, but their love for Krishna as Krishna would also increase.
Yeah, because Krishna, it was always more. Their love for Krishna was even more than their love for their own sons who were Krishna, because Krishna is the whole. And these were expansions of Krishna. And Krishna is always the object of love. Always the supreme object of love. And this is the basic teaching of the Krishna consciousness movement. That Krishna should be the object of love. Because we're always like the cows and horses looking for something on the other side to satisfy us, on the other side of the fence. But until we make Krishna the object of our love, then we won't be fully satisfied, in fact. At that time, all the thoughts of the cowherd men merged into the mellow of paternal love, which was aroused by the sight of their sons. Experiencing a great attraction, their anger completely disappearing, they lifted their sons, they embraced them in their arms, and enjoyed the highest pleasure by smelling their sons' heads. Purport. After Brahma stole the original cowherd boys and calves, Krishna expanded himself to become the boys and calves again. Therefore, because the boys were actually Krishna's expansions, the cowherd men were especially attracted to them. I'm going to ask you what you remember from this. At first, the cowherd men who were on top of the hill were angry, but because of Krishna, the boys were extremely attractive, and therefore the cowherd men immediately came down from the hill with special affection. What do you remember?
Because the boys were actually Krishna, their affection for them was increasing, and even though they were initially angry, they came running down.
It's special affection, not ordinary affection, but special affection. Ordinary affection meaning for their own children. But they had special affection because they were Krishna. And because anger and this ashamedness cannot be stand at the same time as affection. The anger and ashamedness, it ran far away. Thereafter, the elderly cowherd men, having obtained great feeling from embracing their sons, gradually and with great difficulty and reluctance ceased embracing them and returned to the forest. They had to pull themselves away, practically speaking. But as the men remembered their sons, even after they had pulled themselves away, tears began to roll down from their eyes. Because it was with Krishna. And they were actually relating with purport. In the beginning, the cowherd men were angry that the cows were being attracted by the calves, but when the men came down from the hill, they themselves were attracted by their sons. They had the same fate as the calves, or the cows. Not suffered, but ecstatic fate. And therefore the men embraced them, their sons. To embrace one's son and smell his head are symptoms of affection. So because, text 35, because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. So Krishna was watching this. He was Krishna, and everyone, all the boys and calves were his expansion. But Baladev was also watching it. And when Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it. He said, "This is so extreme. What is the reason for it? What has caused the cows to run down the hill in this way, extreme way? And what has caused the cowherd men, upon seeing their sons, to be crying and embracing them again and again and again?" So he began to think about it. And because Krishna couldn't enjoy his pastime fully without Baladev understanding, so Krishna is going to gradually remove the illusion that Baladev himself could not pierce. Krishna's yoga maya. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Baladev's considering. The cows had younger calves who had started sucking milk from their mothers, and some of the cows had newly given birth. Some of them were due to give birth, one of the acharyas said, in 3 or 4 days. But now, because of love, the cows enthusiastically showed their affection for the older calves, which had left off milking. They shouldn't have been drinking the milk. These calves were grown up, but still the mothers wanted to feed them. Therefore, Balaram was a little surprised, and he wanted to inquire from Krishna about the reason for their behavior. The mothers were actually more anxious to feed the older calves, although the new calves were present, because the older calves were expansions of Krishna. These surprising events were taking place by the manipulations of Yoga Maya. There are two Mayas working under the direction of Krishna. Mahamaya, the energy of the material world, and Yogamaya, the energy of the spiritual world. These uncommon events were taking place because of the influence of Yogamaya. From the very day on which Brahma stole the calves and boys, Yogamaya acted in such a way that the residents of Vrindavan, including even Lord Balaram, could not understand how Yogamaya was working and causing such uncommon things to happen. But as Yogamaya gradually acted, Balaram in particular was able to understand what was happening, and therefore he inquired from Krishna. So step by step, I think Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes 4 stages of the removal of the Yogamaya so he could understand. And finally he couldn't understand fully. He's going to ask Krishna to explain it to him. So Balaram thought, what is this wonderful phenomena? Because he had piercing intelligence. So the first removal of the Yogamaya caused him to question what was going on. Because you can see this with most people in this world. No one questions what's going on. They see their everyone dying. One after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. They see everyone struggling for existence, and they see everyone suffering and no one happy. And they don't ask why, they just join the same phenomena that is going on. So this means completely covered by Maya. Not even a small percentage. The first reaction to being uncovered by Maya is to start questioning, why is this going on? If everyone is acting in this foolish way, it means that someone is making everyone foolish. Why is it that everyone gets, why do bodies change the way they do, growing from boyhood to youth to old age? So who's enforcing all these changes? Everyone wants to be free. We see no one is free. Everyone gets older. Who's forcing all these changes? Who's forcing one person to get the lottery and another person to try 1,000,000,000 times and to get the lottery and doesn't get it, and one person gets it? Why is one person born in one situation and another person born in another situation? Who enforces these things? Why is one person given some athletic ability, some other person another ability, another person another ability? So because of Maya, the Mahamaya, no one questions anything, practically speaking. And again, the first section of Maya, when it's removed, then the questioning begins. Why is this happening? What's the purpose? Is there any purpose to all this? What is the purpose of my life? Is it just to go through what everyone else goes through and just die at the end? So Balaram didn't question in the beginning, because Krishna's Maya is so powerful that even Balaram was covered. But then, this increase of affection was not Maya, rather because Krishna had expanded himself as everything, and because the whole life of everyone in Vrindavan was meant for Krishna. The cows, because of affection for Krishna, had more affection for the older calves than for their new calves. And the men increased in their affection for their sons. So it wasn't when Prabhupada says it's not Maya, meaning it's not the Mahamaya. It's Krishna's Yogamaya. Balaram was astonished to see all the residents of Vrindavan so affectionate towards their own children. exactly as they had been for Krishna. Similarly, the cows had grown affectionate towards their calves as much as towards Krishna. Balaram was surprised to see this act of Yogamaya, but again, he had seen it before, because every day the older calves were coming home and the cows were treating them with much more affection than their younger calves. But at that time, there was no questioning. So this is because Krishna has pulled back. So he was surprised to see the acts of Yogamaya. That was his conclusion. Therefore, he inquired from Krishna, what is happening here? What is this mystery? What's the secret behind what's going on? So that happens in the next verse. Who is this mystic power, and where has it come from? Because Balaram himself, when the cows were trying to come down, were coming down the hill, and the cowherd men were stopping, were following them, Balaram had tried to stop them by his own power, but he couldn't. And here, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Balaram tried to use his own potency of omniscience, of knowing everything, and he still couldn't pierce it, and therefore he has to ask Krishna what has happened. So what is he asking? Who is this mystic power? Where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? So he began thinking about it, and he thought maybe it's some Maya power, like Kamsa sent some witch, like he sent Putana, who bewildered all the residents of Vrindavan into letting her come into the presence of Krishna. Maybe some demoness has come. But it couldn't be. It couldn't be a demoness, because I'm also feeling more affection for these boys and calves. So how could... So a demoness can't... They can take on a form, but they can't increase affection for Krishna. And the same thing, it could be a devata or a sage, he thought. Some demigod or some sage. But no, why would they do something like this and interrupt a pastime? A sage wouldn't do that. And also, Balaram thought, maybe they've taken the form, maybe it's the sages and demigods who have taken the form of the calves and the boys because they want to receive affection from Krishna. So they've taken that form so Krishna would give them affection. The calves, Krishna goes like this, and the boys, he's playing with them. But he thought, no, they're gentlemen, they wouldn't do such things. And also they wouldn't be able to increase the same point, my affection for the calves and the boys, just in the same way as Krishna. So he concluded that these calves and boys, first he concluded that they're not actually the calves and boys, and he began wondering what happened to them. And then I think Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī explains why Krishna didn't tell Balaram, is because then as long as he was thinking these were the boys, he wouldn't be missing them. But as soon as he would understand that these aren't the actual boys, even though he knew they were Krishna, which happens here, he began to miss Sridham, he began to miss Subal, he began to miss Subala, Sudham, Stoker Krishna. He began to miss them so much. And because of being upset for Krishna, for allowing Brahma to take the boys, he didn't come for the next 3 days for the cow herding pastimes, calf herding pastimes. So anyway, Balaram reached the conclusion that it can't be the Maya of some demonic tantric Maya that's making this happen. It can't be the devata's Maya. It can't be the sage's power. It must be Krishna's own power. Yes. She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna. Who else can bewilder me? Purport. Balaram was surprised. This extraordinary show of affection, he thought, was something mystical, performed either by the demigods or some wonderful man. Otherwise, how could this wonderful change take place? This Maya might be some Rakshasi Maya, he thought, but how can Rakshasi Maya have any influence on me? This is not possible. Therefore, it must be the Maya of Krishna. He thus concluded that the mystical change must have been caused by Krishna, whom Balaram considered his worshipable personality of Godhead. He thought it was arranged by Krishna, and even I could not check its mystic power. Thus Balaram understood that all these boys and calves were only expansions of Krishna. But yet, so he thought, next verse 38, thinking in this way, Lord Balaram was able to see with his eye of transcendental knowledge that these calves and Krishna's friends were expansions of the form of Krishna. Purport. Everyone, every individual is different. There are even differences between twin brothers. Yet when Krishna expanded himself as the boys and calves, each boy and calf appeared in its own original feature with the same individual way of acting, the same tendency. So they had, he had completely, exactly made them non-individual in that sense, of full characteristics. The same tendencies, the same color, the same dress, and so on. For Krishna manifested himself with all these differences. This was Krishna's opulence. So how did Balaram know this? That it was Krishna's Maya? Does anyone remember what the verse said? Chakshusha vayunena. That means, with his eye of transcendental knowledge, he evoked his omniscience. Are you going to leave right now?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Huh?
I'm leaving, I just want to stand.
Of course, you're a little tired, yes. So he evoked his eye of transcendental knowledge, which he knew everything. So by that potency, he understood these calves and Krishna's friends, they're expansions of the form of Krishna. But, listen to the next verse. Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, who is he speaking to?
Krishna.
These boys are not great demigods, as I previously thought. Nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of differences. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of the calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. So even though he invoked his transcendental knowledge, he couldn't understand it. He had to ask Krishna to explain it to him. And he said briefly, because he didn't want to have Krishna undergo the difficulty of a long explanation.
What were the four stages?
Those are the two anyway, that I... Not understanding in the final one. I couldn't quite catch or remember the difference between the other two.
Well, he first always started to question.
Yeah, that was
then the... Then he started to analyze and say they're not, they can't be this because of this.
That's the second stage removed.
Then he came to the conclusion that they must be coming from the masters. They came to a conclusion it must come from the master.
Right.
And then he came to the point of asking what was coming.
And then the answer came, the complete removal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So although you are existing in the different forms of the cowboys, even though you are right here and you're one, please briefly explain this to me. And having been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. Purport. Inquiring from Krishna about the actual situation, Lord Baladev said, "My dear Krishna, in the beginning I thought that all these cows, calves, and cowherd boys were either great sages and saintly persons or demigods, but at the present it appears they are actually your expansions. They're all you. You yourself are playing as the calves and cows and boys. What is the mystery of this situation?" Where have those other calves and cows and boys gone? And why are you expanding yourself as the calves, cows, and boys? Will you kindly tell me what is the cause? At the request of Balaram, and also interestingly enough, I think it's Vishwanath who says, the Krishna didn't want Balaram to have to experience missing them for that year. And then the question is, well, Krishna must be missing them for that year. But then Vishwanath explains, no, Krishna was with the boys always. He stayed with them, and I was looking for the calves. And that comes out a little bit later, a little indirectly. So it seems like there's one Maya expansion, one Krishna expansion, and then there's one where there's no expansion, because Krishna is just with the boys and calves. So all this is going on. Huh? Tell me, what is the cause? At the request of Brahma, Krishna briefly explained the whole situation, how the calves and boys were stolen by Brahma, and how he was concealing the incident by expanding himself so that people would not know that the original cows, calves, and boys were missing. Balaram understood, therefore, that this was not Maya, but Krishna's opulence. Krishna has all opulences, and this was but another opulence of Krishna. At first, Lord Balaram thought, I thought these boys and calves were a display of the power of great sages like Narada, who wanted to join the Leela and gain Krishna's affection. But now I see that all these boys and calves are you. After inquiring from Krishna, Lord Balaram understood that Krishna himself had become many. That the Lord can do this is stated in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitama Chuttamanadimananta Rupam. Although he is one, he can expand himself in so many forms. According to the Vedic version, Ekam Bahu Sham, he can expand himself into many thousands and millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual because everything is an expansion of Krishna. That is, everything is an expansion either of Krishna himself or his potency. Because the potency is non-different from the potent. The potency and the potent are one. Shakti, Shaktiman, Abhina. The Mayavadis, however, say Satchit, Chit, Achit, Samanvaya. Spirit and matter are one. This is a wrong conception. Spirit, Chit, is different from matter, Achit, as explained by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all these eight comprise my separated material energies. But beside this inferior nature, O mighty Amdarjun, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with matter and are sustaining the universe. Spirit and matter cannot be made one, for actually there are superior and inferior energies. Yet the Mayavadis or Advaitavadis try to make them one. This is wrong. Although spirit and matter ultimately come from the same one source, they cannot be made one. For example, there are many things that come from our bodies, but although they come from the same source, they cannot be made one. We should be careful to note that although the supreme source is one, the emanations from this source should be separately regarded as inferior and superior. The difference between the Mayavadis and Vaishnava philosophies is that the Vaishnava philosophies recognize this fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, therefore, is called Achintya Veda Veda. Simultaneously oneness and difference. For example, fire and heat cannot be separated, for where there is fire there is heat, and where there is heat there is fire. Nonetheless, although we cannot touch fire, heat we can tolerate. Therefore, although they are one, they are different. So now Brahma returns, and we shall discuss that tomorrow. Any questions or comments?
It's a very good example that Prabhupada just gave of how they're one, and that we cannot touch the fire, but we can tolerate the heat.
We cannot, yeah.
And they're inseparable.
So what is the point of that example? That even in that in Krishna, just like in the fire, although everything is non-different from Krishna, still there are differences within the non-difference. And to think that everything is the same is a misunderstanding. And that's the misunderstanding that the Mayavadis make. The impersonalists, they say that everything is Krishna in the same way, in an equal way. Everything is the absolute.
So it's all across the board the same. Him and us and everything is all.
Except, as I say, so therefore you're seeing difference where there is sameness is illusion. That's what Maya does. So even though, as Prabhupada said, even though they say everything is illusion, they are expert in enjoying the illusion. They try very hard to enjoy the illusion. So it's a bluff. What do you think of this Hema Krishna Hall?
Oh, of
this
deep
pastime.
Yeah, this pastime is actually very deep. I have a question, or just thinking about this.
About this pastime or a general question?
This pastime.
Yeah.
If Balaram was covered, how come he was able, by using his knowledge? I mean, initially, I remember you mentioned that.
That Krishna removed the covering in different stages.
Oh, Krishna was removing the covering.
Because he couldn't enjoy the pastime, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer without Balaram understanding what was going on. So he wanted Balaram to understand. But he wanted him to understand right at the end. Because Balaram and Krishna, they're inseparable, like Gaur and Nittai.
So only in the last stage that he gave Lord Balaram the ability to see his extension.
Yeah, the last few days of the year. And then only when he removed his potency of movement. So this shows, so not only Brahma can't understand if Krishna doesn't want, even Balaram. So Krishna is the supreme, 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 supreme. Even though Balaram and Krishna are equal, but still Krishna is the supreme person, personality of Godhead.
Because Balaram's existence depends on Krishna because he's expanding from him.
Except that you can't really say that because there's no time that Balaram expanded from Krishna. So when you're dealing with things that are beyond time,
it's
inconceivable, it's hard to talk about them. So when you, I prefer to say, when you look at it from this point of view, it's like this, but when you look at it from this point of view, it's like that. So there's the inconceivable nature of it, because so although Balaram and Krishna are equal, still Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Although Lord Narayan and Vishnu are equal, still Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
That in different stages.
Yes.
So,
removal in different stages.
So even Mahavishnu couldn't see Krishna. Even the great Vishnu in the 89th chapter of the 10th canto, he couldn't see Krishna. He wanted so much to see Krishna and have darshan of Krishna. So he stole all the Brahmin sons.
But I didn't really understand when you say that he can't see Krishna, because I mean, he's being Mahavishnu, he can go anywhere to see Krishna.
Krishna is not so easy to see. He couldn't go into Dwarka to see Krishna. That's what the pastime explains, that he had to get, had to Krishna want to go and come and see him.
Sometimes it's very, very difficult to understand all this.
But if you can understand it in a simple way, that Krishna is the all-attractive Supreme Lord. So it's not like in Vrindavan, for example, it's not like everyone can, even the devatas, they can't play in Krishna's pastime so easily.
They have a different domain and dimension that they act upon. Is that correct? become automatically just like we can automatically get on a plane and go to the geographical place. Mm. So we just feel like, oh, I can do anything.
But we can't do that too. You need a visa.
So they have a visa system of subtlety.
And Krishna's past because of if there's one pastime when Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men want to go to see Krishna and go to Vaikuntha, like Goloka, but a Vaikuntha, Goloka, and they go there after, this is in the 28th chapter, I think, of the 10th canto. And when they go there, they see all the demigods worshipping Krishna and reciting prayers to Krishna. And they don't feel comfortable. It's disturbing their relationship with Krishna. Because they can't. And they said that, what is this place? I know that Krishna wants to come on and jump on our laps, but he doesn't. He's feeling very restrained. And I also feel restrained. I want to go over and give him the biggest of embraces, hugs, but I can't. But we know this all the time. This happens when there's, so you're dealing with your wife and family, and then someone who, as a friend, but an outsider comes in, and then immediately your dealings change. So in Vrindavan, Krishna just wants, this is his time to be with his dearest, most intimate friend. So not it. So if there are forearm forms of Vishnu everywhere, you know, that would inhibit everyone.
In fact, there was once, right? There was a forearm form. He created a forearm form, and everybody very respectfully offered their respects to the forearm form and asked the forearm form where Krishna was. They didn't.
Because that was their topmost. That was when they were really, really looking for Krishna. So that, you know, they didn't even see them practically. They saw them like, just like they asked the trees and the creepers where Krishna was, the son of Nanda Maharaj was. So they asked Narayan in the same way. They just saw everything and everyone is, their value in one sense was whether they could bring them to Krishna. They didn't see anything else. Krishna was so dominant.
When you're talking about these four different levels of removal of covering, in our cases it's somewhat similar, the same on our...
Well, the first case is certainly there.
So when we start to question, like in other words we're going around not questioning anything, is that us who's starting to question, we're starting to kind of, something is happening to us? From us, or is that somehow or other reciprocation of Krishna covering from
both us? You can't separate the two because we're not independent. We're never independent. But the ability, Krishna is the ability in man, so it's, there's an inspiration. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tamni Namamu Pyantite. And that comes from some Agyata Sukriti. When not questioning doesn't necessarily, but it comes from some sukriti. What is the purpose of life? When the question begins there, then you're a human being.
So when that question arises, it's a combination of the person's sincerity of some sort and also
a slackening of the illusory energy. Well, there's one reason that's given, that it was his birthday, so his mother kept him home. It's just like he didn't come on the Agasura day. else he wouldn't have allowed Krishna to do it. So all these are arranged, all these different things are arranged by Yogamaya, who makes the leelas so that they work smoothly. So the reason why he didn't come is also that he was quite upset with Krishna that he had let Brahma take his friends.
Being that he was the supreme controller.
He didn't stop Brahma.
Huh?
That he didn't
yeah.
stop him.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
I just remembered, I think Jagatrunya answered that question.
Did you want to?
No, it's gone from my head now, so I can't
okay.
remember.
Okay. When do we end? So tomorrow we'll continue and hear how Brahma deals with it all when he returns. Prabhupada ki jai, si Brahma Mohanarini ki jai, si Mad Bhagavatam ki jai, si Prabhupada ki jai, si Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai.